Well, Bill and Joe were fishing one afternoon. Joe says to Bill, "I'm considering divorcing my wife." "What's going on that you would consider such a thing?" Bill asks. Joe says, "My wife hasn't talked to me in about 3 months. Bill contemplates that for a second, and he looks at Joe with great concern, and he says, "You may want to reconsider that. Those kind of women are hard to come by these days." Somebody had to appreciate that. Well, this morning, we're going to continue our walk through the book of James. Last week, we talked about the first 18 verses in chapter 1, and we tried to answer a couple of questions. Why do we go through trials and face temptations? And how should we view the trials and temptations that we're faced with? And hopefully we answer those questions. But if you didn't hear that message, again, I want to remind you that you can visit our webpage, coshocton baptist church.org, go to resources, and you'll find all the links for past messages. So if you miss that one or any other, just simply go to the website and check it out. But this morning, we're going to be looking at verses 19 through 25 of chapter 1 of James. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn there. Chapter 1, verses 19 through 25. And we'll just start out reading all those and move forward from there. Here's what it says. "So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in the mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law and liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does." So the big question today is, how do we respond to God's Word? You know, we hear these words from Scripture this morning. We hear them in Sunday school. We hear them in Bible study. We hear them in youth group. We hear them everywhere we go here in the church. How should we respond to God's Word? Well, the first thing I want to point out this morning is this. We have to receive God's Word humbly. Verse 19 says this, "So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath." So let's pick up that first little bit there. What exactly does it mean to be swift to hear? Think about that for a second. Swift to hear. It's kind of a strange phrase. Well, I was thinking about it, and it kind of took me back to my childhood. It made me think of how, when I was a kid, you know, a young kid in our neighborhood, we had the neighborhood wars. You know, we all had these toy guns, and we would assemble together, and we would create teams, you know, and we would all go out and we would have this little war, you know, through the backyards of the neighborhood, you know, where we're trying to kill off everybody on the other team. You know, I'm sure if you're a young boy, you've experienced this. It might have looked, depending on what generation you're from, it might look a little different. Maybe it was Cowboys and Indians for you, or if you're a little younger than me, it might be paintball. But we've all experienced this whole phenomenon of neighborhood war. So it got me thinking about that, you know, and I thought, well, you know, even the girls can relate to this, because even you girls, I'm sure you had the baby doll, right? Everybody had the baby doll that you treated like it was your own, and you carried it around, and you know, you fed it. You had a little bottle that when you tipped it up, the milk, like, started to disappear and stuff. And and you changed the diapers, and you took care of this child like it was your own. Maybe you didn't have a baby doll. Maybe you had the fake kitchen set. Everybody, I think there's one in the nursery, the fake kitchen set, the one where you could whip up that gourmet meal in about 30 seconds. The dishes, they're done in no time flat. Everybody remember those? Well, I want you to realize something this morning. I bring this up because sometimes I feel like the church today has kind of taken on this childlike feeling of pretend. We seem to think that there are no real consequences to our actions. Our churches seem to be filled with apathetic hearers. Now, maybe you don't know what apathy is this morning, so I'm going to tell you. Apathy is kind of like saying you have a lack of interest or concern. Basically, it's indifference. It's like saying, I just don't care. An apathetic hearer is someone who can endure a Bible study or sit here in the sanctuary and listen to a message or sit through youth group or Sunday school and take in God's word and feel like that there's no need to do anything with it. An apathetic hearer can mistake hearing and knowing for being obedience to God. So many of us think that because we sat here this morning through Sunday school or through worship service, maybe because we've done something in the church, we think that we're in God's will. We go home every week content that we showed up. And James is warning us about being an apathetic hearer. Those of us who hear messages from God, we regularly attend services, we've been saved. James wants us to know this, wants to ask this morning, why are we hearing God's word and throwing it back into the toy box like it was that toy doll that you had when you were a kid? We throw it back in like it means nothing after we've tossed it around for a little while. Why is there no significant growth in your life after hearing God's word? Why does your life look the same now as it did 10 years ago? He's telling us not to trample the word of God like a useless childhood toy. God's not content with his people just simply attending service. He wants us to absorb the message and allow that message to change our lives. But an apathetic hearer produces no significant change. And they give a false message to the unsaved that are watching. One of the most dangerous things that we can do as a church is to have an apathetic hearer in a position of leadership in the church. Any position of leadership. So when James says, be swift to hear, he's telling us to approach the word of God, ready to hear it, and ready to put it into action in our lives. He's telling us that God expects more than apathetic hearing from us. I want you to know that I expect more from this group than apathetic hearing. I need you to listen to me this morning. If we want to continue in a scenario where God's word gets taken out of the childhood toy box on Sunday morning and tossed around a little bit and put back without having any real effect on our lives, it's time for you to find a different church. Because that's not the way this one's going to be. Amen. Go find a place where people share the attitude of, it's all about me. I don't believe that God is looking for space fillers in this church. And I got to tell you this morning, if that makes you angry and you want to toss me out of here as a result, I'm fine with that. I don't really care. I'm going to preach God's word irregardless of how it affects me personally. And I need you to know that. If this morning you haven't heard it in the last 20 messages, it's not about me and it's not about any of you. It's about our service to an almighty God. So the next time you hear yourself complaining about something that's going on, I want you to stop and ask the question, where's my focus? You'll most likely find that the focus is on self and not on God. It might be pretty well disguised, but I think you'll find that the root is a focus on self. So let's look at a little bit more of verse 19. It says, So then, beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear and slow to speak. So this command to be swift to hear calls for us to be eager to hear and obey God's word. Then we're instructed to be slow to speak. So this instruction to be slow to speak demands silence as we approach the word of God. Why do you think that is? I believe it's because so often we approach the word of God talking, knowing ahead of time what we want it to mean. We come at it talking because we want to justify where we're at and what we're doing so that we don't have to have any kind of significant change in our lives. We try to conform God's word to our lives instead of conforming our lives to God's word. I've heard it said a million times, and you have too, we have two ears and one mouth. That ought to be an indication as to which one is more important. We need to listen before we speak. Let's look at the last part of verse 19 and the first part of verse 20. It says, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. The wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. How many of you remember what Moses did in his anger? Well, this story is retold in Acts chapter 7. And if you want to follow along, you can turn to verse 23 of chapter 7 of Acts. But keep your finger there in James, because we're going to go back to that. Here's what it says in Acts chapter 7. Now when he was 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. And seeing one of them suffer wrong, he defended and avenged him who was oppressed, and struck down the Egyptian. For he supposed that his brethren would have understood that God would deliver them by his hand, but they did not understand. And the next day he appeared to two of them as they were fighting. And he tried to reconcile them, saying, men, you are brethren. Why do you wrong one another? But he who did his neighbor wrong pushed him away, saying, who made you ruler and judge over us? Do you want to kill me as you did the Egyptian yesterday? Then at this saying, Moses fled and became a dweller in the land of Midian, where he had two sons. And when 40 years had passed, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire in a bush in the wilderness of Mount Sinai. Here's what I want you to see this morning. The work of an angry Christian can prevent the world from seeing the love that God has for them. It's impossible to look at the conduct of fighting believers and worship the God they serve. Who wants to do that? This should make all of us very cautious as to how we display our anger. Just like in the case of Moses, an angry response often hurts the situation and causes others to have doubt in us and the God we serve. Let me give you a real life situation that all of us face right now. God's word tells us that homosexuality is wrong. God's word tells us that drunkenness is wrong. God's Word gives us examples of things that should not exist in our lives, right? God's Word also says that we should be vigilantes for Jesus, right? Go around insulting and killing people that don't measure up to those standards, right? That's what it says. Because we're all perfect. No, that's not what God's Word says. We're supposed to share the love of Christ with everyone we encounter. And we love them to the cross, and we let Jesus worry about cleaning them up. That doesn't mean we compromise our view. We can never compromise the Word of God. It means that we live out the Word of God. Our hearts should be breaking for folks who don't know Christ. People are attacking Christians over their views on these issues. And I want you to know you need to be careful how you respond. The reputation of your God is resting on your response. Think about that for a second. Verse 21 says this, "Therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls." We must remember God's Word constantly and obey it wholeheartedly. Verse 22 says, But be doers of the Word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. I need you to listen to me here. If we're going to be doers of God's Word, that means we have to know what God's Word is. We can't obey something that we don't know. It's really cut and dry. We have to know it to be able to obey it, which means we have to be in it. We have to be reading it. We have to be trying to understand it. We can't expect it to just jump out of the pages and fill our heads. We have to look at it. Let's read verse 23 through 25 real quick. It says, "For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does." I'm pretty sure I haven't told you guys this before, but it just so happens that I am an alligator handler. Did you guys know that? I'm an alligator handler. I know that I've got your attention now, and I'm sure that some of you are intrigued by this statement, so I want to tell you how this came about. I have always had an interest in reptiles. I think reptiles are really cool. But years ago, this show came out. It's called Crocodile Hunter. I'm sure you've all seen it. Well, I've seen about every episode of Crocodile Hunter. I've watched how they handle these alligators and crocodiles, and you know, I got to understand, you know, how everything works, how these alligators kind of think and react to situations. And so, you know, as a result of my interest in this kind of stuff, I've been to zoos and aquariums in probably 4 different states. I mean, all of them within a good ways. I just have such a strong interest. But there was a couple of years ago, this show came out called Swamp People. Have you ever seen that? This show is really cool. This is where they actually, like, hunt gators for a living. They actually hunt them down. But I've watched quite a few episodes of this show, and it's really cemented in my mind how alligators react to, you know, to food and the different things that go on there. And so I guess the topper is right here. I have actually handled an alligator. I have a picture to prove it. Now, I know it's hard to see, but I'll show it to you later. This was before technology, and I couldn't get it up here. This is a small alligator. It's maybe 3.5 or 4 feet long. and its mouth is taped shut, but I have actually handled an alligator. Picture to prove it. So I am officially an alligator handler, right? Some of you seem a little unconvinced at this story. That's kind of weird. I want to tell you why I think this is weird. Because so many of us do the exact same thing in our Christian lives. We've heard the preacher talk about Jesus. We even said, man, that sounds like a really good idea. You come to church on Sundays. There was even that one time that you did dishes at the potluck. And I think there's a couple pictures floating around to prove it. Not long ago, I saw this video that made the news. And it was so interesting to me. It was on a golf course, and there was this alligator sunbathing on the golf course. And there was an older gentleman, and he'd probably seen all the same shows that I have. And he was a lot older than me, so it's hard to tell how many zoos and aquariums he'd been to, probably more than me. But he must have been a handler too, because this gator was a little too close to things, and this man takes off his jacket, right? And he kind of sneaks up behind this gator, and he throws his jacket over the gator's head, covers his eyes. And he nice and slowly, he kind of sneaks up there, and he straddles behind this gator. And all of a sudden, wham, he jumps on this thing, and it was big. He jumps on it, grabbing its mouth, you know, trying to get a hold of it. I'm really unsure as to what he intended after that. But he jumps on this thing, and that thing came to life like it was a world-class bucking bull and just threw him to the side, ends up getting a hold of his arm and is flinging him. He took lots of damage before he got loose. Let's just say that. He was pretty banged up when it was finished, but that thing tossed him around like a rag doll. He was not a handler. And the reality is, neither am I. God's word is clear. We have to be careful that we're not deceiving ourselves. Let's read it again, verses 22 through 25. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. Here's what I want you to see this morning. None of us are ever going to hear the words from God, "Well done, my good and faithful watcher and one who critiques my servants." We will never hear those words from God. We will never be praised for disobedience. The words we'll hear will be, "Depart from me, you worker of iniquity, for I never knew you." Don't play the pretend game. Don't be the one who looks into the word of God without intention of acting on it. Don't let it go in one ear and out the other. We need to approach God's word eager and ready to hear and respond to what it says. We have to commit that word to our heart and obey it with everything we have. I'm about to close this morning, but I just have to tell you one more thing. I'm sure that somewhere in the midst of the things that I've said this morning, I've probably offended someone. And I just have to tell you that I'm okay with that. We're not designed to be pew warmers. We have all been given gifts and talents. And we need to use those to live out God's word. God didn't design us to be consumer Christians. Let's put an end to the idea of consumer Christianity. That idea of we just take and expect and never give. Will you stand with me? As always, I just ask that you bow your head and close your eyes for just a minute. Maybe you're here this morning and you don't know Christ as Lord and Savior. But this morning you feel Him tugging on your heart. If that's the case, I want you to know that Jesus Christ loves you and He died for you. The Bible teaches that every single one of us have sinned and that sin separates us from God. The penalty for sin is death. Jesus died to pay the penalty for your sins and mine. But the wonderful thing is He didn't stop there. 3 days later, He rose from the grave having conquered death. And the Bible says that if you'll believe that with all of your heart and confess it with your mouth, you'll be saved. Saved from hell and eternal separation from God. Today can be the day that you can begin a relationship with God. You can leave here and know without question that you're heaven bound. It's not an easy road. I'm not going to lie to you. In many cases, it might be the hardest thing that you've ever done, to die to yourself and to live for God, to give Him control of your life. One thing I know for sure is He's never going to lead you astray. He's never going to lead you in the wrong direction, irregardless of how it feels at the time. Let's pray. Father, You truly are an awesome God. You care about us in spite of who we are. That's so hard for me to understand sometimes. Father, so often we tend to be consumer Christians. We look for what's in it for us. Father, help us to change as You shape and mold us into the likeness of Christ. I ask, as always, that You inspire this body of believers to go and share Your love with other people. Help us to approach Your word with the right attitude. Help us to understand how to live out Your word. Give us the wisdom to be able to do that. And again, if there are any changes that need to be made here this morning, I ask that You alone would inspire those changes. Father, this time of invitation is Yours. This message was Yours to use as You see fit. And I just thank You for what You're about to do with it. And it's in Jesus' name. Amen.